Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Invisible Being in the Pennsylvania Woods by TKVG. This happened in around 2009. I was living on the road for 2 years, hitchhiking and riding trains. I was a dumb 19-year-old. I'd been all over the country, mostly on the West Coast, and decided to see the East Coast. I went to a small festival in Florida called a Rainbow Gathering. They're like these big meetups of traveler kids, old hippies, vagrants, those kinds of people. They're always in state parks or national parks. Rangers patrol it, and police sometimes show up. But for some reason, the gatherings are allowed. They've been going on since the 70s. Some of the people who show up are hardcore, train-hopper, gutter-punk types. And some are super chill Christians who will wash your feet. It's a very unusual festival. There are smaller regional gatherings and a big national gathering where thousands of people show up, kind of like a poor man's Burning Man. Huge fire pits get dug out, elaborate latrines, hundreds of drum circles, and free food is constantly made from the kitchens, which are just camps devoted to making food for us. I met some friends at a smaller regional one in Florida. We parted ways, and I never thought I was going to see them again. One was named Anna, and we sort of hit it off. I hitchhiked north, all the way to upstate New York, when I caught wind of the national gathering, which was going to be in Pennsylvania. I figured I might as well go. I got to this gathering early, in the Allegheny National Park. I helped set up and tried to meet people, just kind of looking for my group, not sure yet where I was going to be camping. Well, one day, I ran into Anna again. She and I had some spiritual conversations when we first met, talking about fairies and aliens and the like. She had some unusual stuff happen to her when she was a kid. She and her buddy had just gotten to Pennsylvania. And we decided that three of us were going to team up. We noticed a ton of people showing up to this thing. It was getting really crowded, so we decided to move our camp to a more remote area. We chose a spot off of the main trail, which goes from the parking lot to the gathering. It's a couple miles long, and there's a lot of foot traffic going up and down, people going in and out of the festival. But we had some space. This happened around dusk. Me and Anna were sitting by our little twig fire, stone cold sober. Alcohol isn't really allowed at the gatherings. It does still get in, but there's a camp at the parking lot called A Camp, where all the drinkers stay. There's, of course, other drugs at these festivals. But Anna and her friend and I just weren't into the whole drum circle scene. We had just gotten done having a deep talk about spirituality when we started to feel hungry, so we stood up and started heading down to the main circle, which is where everyone can get one big meal a day. We are standing up when Anna says, "Hey, do you hear that?" I said no and just kept putting out the fire with my foot. "No, hey, shh, listen." So I stopped, and I could hear the sound of someone walking through the forest. The thing that was weird about it was that it was coming from a direction where there were no festival activities. The festival itself was down below us, about a half mile away if we were looking down the trail, and this sound was coming from our left, where it's nothing but hundreds of miles of Pennsylvania woods. The parking lot is way up the trail, a few miles behind us. It was odd because it sounded like a person speed walking towards us. I didn't think it could be deer, because they wouldn't be coming up to a fire pit. I genuinely thought it was just some lost hippie. As this sound was getting closer, there were some people walking down the trail and some walking up the trail. There's a weird custom called Nick at Night. If you yell Nick at Night, a person with a tin can full of tobacco will come find you and roll you a cigarette. There's about 10 of them walking around, and their sole job is to maintain everyone's nicotine habit. So anyways, these two groups run into a Nick at Night kid, and they're now all standing together on the main trail, talking, about 30 feet below us, oblivious to our presence. So while that's happening, the sound of someone walking from our left has gotten so close that we should be seeing who or what it was, but there just wasn't anything there. I was frozen, kind of stuck in a state of confusion, and I think Anna was too. Not fearful, just wondering why we aren't seeing anything. We could clearly see leaves and dirt being kicked up, like there was an invisible person power walking by. Whatever it was, it went right up to that group of people on the main trail and didn't stop, but it slowed down like it was checking them out. They were totally oblivious to this. They were all smoking, talking, and laughing. It kind of did a turn as it went up to them, and then suddenly made a straight line and came towards me and Anna. Anna had a keychain with a million things on it, and she was frantically looking for this mini flashlight she had. It was dusk, so it wasn't bright out, but still light enough for us to see the footfalls and debris being kicked up. My mind was thinking it could have been a squirrel or a field mouse, hopping along on the forest floor or something. It was covered in dead leaves, but these steps were quick, as if this was a child or a small person walking really fast. It's hard to explain in writing. This thing then came right up to us. I'm standing to the right of our smoldering fire, and Anna is on the left. I could hear her struggling with her keychain. It came right up to me, probably 5 or 6 feet away. There was nothing there. It just did the same thing that it did with the other group. It slowed its pace, like it was checking us out, and slowly trotted. As it went by, Anna said, "Hey," and shined the light where it was. But there was nothing to see. Whatever this thing was then took off up the hill. Just absolutely took off. It was so fast. The footfalls became like a machine gun. If I had wanted to run after it, I couldn't have. A second later, Anna and I took off running in the opposite direction, past that group, and just kept going until we were at the bottom of the trail. Something funny actually happened. There are people at these gatherings who spend the whole month naked. They roll around in mud and basically just wear a suit of mud for the whole festival. One of these people we had seen was this 7-foot giant of a man, probably 400 pounds, naked, covered in mud and leaves. Me and Anna are in full flight mode, and at this point it's dark, and we ran right into this guy. He scared us so much, Anna screamed, but we all started laughing, and that sort of canceled out the panic. We went to go find our other friend, and it was weird because Anna became scared again. She kept saying that what happened was because of her. She had a weird fairy or alien situation happen to her and her mom when she was a kid. She felt like whatever this was because of her. I don't know, I never could get her to elaborate. She didn't want to talk more about it. This other friend and I, though, we were all about it. We went back up there and tried to look for tracks with our lights, listened for a while, but nothing happened. Anna didn't come with us. She wanted to pack up the tent. I've gone from thinking it was perhaps a gray alien or even a ghost, maybe a fairy or a gnome. One person said it could have been a Pukwudgie, which are like Native American gnome things that are tricksters and can turn invisible. But I really don't know what we encountered.
Did We See a Ghost? By Tom. I'm a 77-year-old man living in retired bliss. I was born and raised in a rural Pennsylvanian town with a population of around 700. This event took place in the late 1950s when I was a preteen. My best friend and I grew up enjoying the woods, rivers, streams, and ponds that comprised our valley home. Everyone in town knew everyone else and everyone else's business. There was one small grocery store in the village run by a nice but somewhat eccentric middle-aged man. My friend and I shopped there for ice cream, candy, and such on the rare occasion that we had a spare nickel or dime to spend. One weekend, there was a tragic car accident just outside of town that took the lives of three young men in their 20s. One of the men in the accident was Jerry, who was from our town, and two from a neighboring town. One of the young men that died was my sister's boyfriend. I learned of the tragedy when I woke up that Saturday morning to find my sister sobbing uncontrollably, which made me incredibly sad. About a week later, my friend and I were at the grocery store to spend our small fortune of a whole quarter. As we contemplated the various candy bars behind the counter, a young man walked into the store to buy a pack of cigarettes. He spoke with the grocer for a few minutes, paid his 30 cents, and walked out. I looked at my friend to see why his face was drained of its color. "Was that who I thought it was?" I asked. "Yeah, that was Jerry," he replied. We ran to the grocer, who asked the same question. He absent-mindedly acknowledged that it was Jerry, and then his jaw dropped. The three of us ran outside to see an empty street. No people, no cars, nothing. My friend and I rarely spoke of this event as we grew up. Later on, after we both had finished our tours in Vietnam, we met for a beer and talked over old times. He brought up the Jerry incident. We agreed that it was likely someone who had an uncanny resemblance to Jerry, but neither of us could explain why he wasn't anywhere on the street when we went to look outside. We both recalled that no car pulled up in front of the store before he walked in, and the street was unobstructed for hundreds of yards in each direction. We should have seen him, but we have no logical explanation as to why we did not.
Maybe a Bigfoot. By Lenita. While listening to episode 61 with Timothy Renner, I had to stop and write this down. I was hit hard when I heard of children being beckoned away from their parents by entities. I grew up and still live in Northern California, in Bigfoot country. My father worked as a logger out in the Willow Creek area. I used to go to work with him, and I would sit in his truck with toys and snacks. He also gave me very firm directions not to leave the truck for any reason. Under no circumstances was I to leave. I did have a whistle around my neck in case something went wrong, and the sound of a distant chainsaw to let me know what direction my dad had gone. I must have been around 6 or 7 when this happened. I was playing by the truck when I heard a grunting noise and saw what I thought was a large brown bear moving from tree to tree. Except it was just a blurry brown figure I saw move from the corner of my eye. I felt the overwhelming need to follow it. I don't remember how long I thought about following whatever this thing was, but I knew it would be dangerous for me to leave the truck area. My dad's voice was in the back of my head, him telling me multiple times about the dangers of falling trees and needing to stay put. This thing kept moving from tree to tree in some weird game of tag or hide and seek. I apparently started to follow it, and next thing I know, I hear my name loudly being called from behind me. I turned around and saw my dad close by, running up to me. I don't remember hearing the chainsaw stop or hearing him run. I do remember the look on his face and him telling me to never follow anything in the woods. He grabbed my hand and took me back to his worksite to collect his equipment, and we left right afterwards. Years later, he told me he had an overwhelming feeling to stop work to check on me. He came back and saw me intensely watching the woods in the opposite direction of where he was working. He panicked when he saw me walking away. He didn't see what I saw, but sensed something wasn't right. He was yelling my name as he ran after me, and I eventually snapped out of it, startled, breaking whatever trance I was in. Neither of us are sure about what exactly happened, but something told him to get us out of the woods that day, and he has always trusted his intuition since.
The Guests by Anonymous. My dad's side of the family has a history of supernatural experiences. The most memorable one that I've heard from my aunt is that they used to live in a house where a spirit would visit them at night in their bedrooms. It would be seen by two of the sisters of my dad's large Catholic family, only stopping when they started commanding him to get out and that he wasn't welcome there. But that's another story. This story took place when I was around 11 or 12. My family was building a house in a different part of the state that we were living in and was renting another house to stay in while our new house was being built. From what I remember, the house was beautiful and somewhat secluded, with a lot of green space outside and a swing. I had fond memories of living there, even though I stayed in this room that I childishly named the Coke Room. This was because it was covered with Coca-Cola memorabilia. I'm talking large posters, old advertisements, and tons of vintage Coke bottles, some still containing liquid in them. It's strange, but I still got relatively okay sleep in there. Later on, I heard some things from my dad that changed my whole perspective on that house and our time there. My parents didn't tell us as kids, but when the owner of the house was handing them the keys and leaving, they disclosed to my parents that the house was haunted. They said there was a more disturbed spirit living in the basement of the house where the laundry room was. Because of this, she strongly advised that we only do laundry in the daytime and avoid going down there at night. Normal, right? Well, according to her, there also was a more friendly entity living in the main areas of the house. The only thing with this spirit was that it liked a certain door, a door which led to nowhere. It led to a wall. After some recent renovations, anyways, he liked that door to be kept open. My parents were, of course, surprised and a little freaked out at this disclosure, but they had already signed and paid for the rental at this point and just had to go with it. Later on, in the summer, they hosted a small, intimate dinner party with some family friends. A small note about the kitchen. On the kitchen counter, there was a bowl that was filled with old coins. Anyways, the adults were sitting around at the dining table drinking and listening to music on an iPod when my dad noticed the distinct sounds of someone digging their hands into the bowl of coins as if they were sorting through them. Nobody was near the bowl of coins. They also heard the iPod shuffle skipping, and they could pick up on the faint sounds of what he described as a sped-up or jumbled voice talking at a rapid pace. He couldn't pick up on the actual words being said. Over the sound of the music, the dinner guests could hear this too, but everyone was trying to act normal and calm about it. Group psychology, I guess. Anyway, my parents were gracious hosts, and they played it off to not freak the guests out. And that was all for the night. Although, according to my dad, he would continue to hear this coin noise when he sometimes came into the kitchen late at night to get water. The other experience he had involved this door. The door would sometimes bang around, being opened, as it was wedged between this renovated wall and an older couch. My dad got tired of this noise at a certain point and decided to just close the door. He couldn't sleep well that night and woke up to strange sounds emanating from his room. As he entered the room, he heard again the sounds of a sped-up, slightly cantankerous older man saying something he couldn't understand. My dad has been around the block with spirits and politely introduced himself, saying that he meant no harm to the spirit and that he would leave him alone. He then went back to the door and opened it up again. He never closed it after that. That was the most memorable thing that I've heard, and as a child, I didn't know any of this had happened. But note to self, and any listeners who are renting, maybe consider asking your landlord before you sign anything, if the house or property is haunted.
My Daughter Left One Behind by Jenny. Ever since I got pregnant with my daughter Samantha, strange things started happening. Mostly good things, though. Now that she's all grown up, she often calls me to talk about paranormal happenings around her. Her friends all notice this about her, too. I like to say that she's a spirit magnet. Samantha has been known to leave hitchhiking spirits at our house. Odd things happen around the house, too, whenever she visits. Items go missing and turn up in crazy spots. The dogs act weird and completely out of character for no reason. Music boxes that haven't been wound for years start playing on their own. Usually just simple, silly things. Until one night, last summer, my partner and I were sleeping, and Samantha had left that same night after visiting us. I woke up to my youngest daughter, Addie, by my bedside, saying, "Mama, I'm cold. Mama, wake up. I'm cold." Now, this is a typical occurrence for her. She comes up to our bed at least 3 times a week, for one reason or another. Half asleep, I reached over and subconsciously picked her up, saying, "Aw, come on." That's when my eyes widened in shock. I was now fully awake and realized that this was not my daughter. Addie is 12, much taller than this poor little thing I'm holding, much heavier too. I took a good look at her and saw a young girl with a face full of scars that looked like burns. "Oh, sweetie, what happened? Who are you?" I said. She just kept saying, "Mama, I'm cold." I tried to hold on to her, but she scrambled under the covers to cuddle with my partner. I pulled the covers up, trying to get her, but she had completely vanished. Not 30 seconds later, my partner got up and said, "I can't stay in here, it's too cold." And he left to sleep in the guest room. This man has never left our bed. He is never cold, and he keeps me warm at night. Not to mention it was summer. I can't help but wonder who this little girl was, and if she still needs help from the grave.
Small Town Windigo by Sammy G. When I was a child, my grandfather used to tell me about monsters. I never believed his stories and always thought that there was no way that they could be real. I was an odd little girl, and I was a tomboy. I loved being outside, going fishing, and shooting guns. My family and I moved to a small town called Asbury, Missouri. We moved into my best friend's old house. It was in the country and sat right next to the highway. Asbury was very small and only had a post office and a gas station, so my grandfather didn't care if I went out at night by myself. I would often sleep outside at night in a tent or a hammock under the tree. I could even leave the yard alone at night as long as I brought at least one gun to protect myself. My grandfather wasn't as concerned about a person taking me as he was about the wildlife. I was small, and there were a lot of coyotes in the area. We had even seen some large tracks by a river that looked like they could be from a bear. So, anytime I left, I always took one .22 caliber rifle, my 9mm, and my dad's little 12-gauge pump-action shotgun. This ensured that anything bigger would most likely leave me alone. About 3 months into living there, I decided to go fishing. Summer was pretty much over and the weather was starting to cool off. I thought it was the perfect night to go and finish out my summer with a nice, relaxing fishing trip to my favorite spot. This spot was on a neighbor's property inside his cow pasture. When I got there, I had several cows around me at the pond, but they seemed to stay on the other side. I didn't pay too much attention, and I got right into my night. I tend to drift off into sleep when I fish, and that's exactly what I did on this night. I'm not sure how much time had passed before I realized that I didn't hear the bullfrogs or crickets anymore. I noticed this as I realized that not only were all of the cows gone and completely silent, but there wasn't so much as a firefly outside now. This was the time of year when they were everywhere. I was raised in the forest, and I knew that complete silence was bad, and it usually meant a predator was near. So as a precaution, I decided to pack it up for the night, as I had not caught anything anyway. As I went to stand up, I heard something snap a stick behind me. I was instantly filled with fear. I thought to myself, how could I let a predator get so close to me before I realized? How could I become so comfortable that I forgot to pay attention to my surroundings? I turned around to see something that I never expected to see. It was straight out of a nightmare. It was tall, and it looked like it stood at least a foot and a half above my dad, who was 5'11". This thing made my blood run cold as my eyes became transfixed on this monster. It had pale gray skin that hung off of it like an old leather jacket. It had patches of what looked like brown or gray fur. It stood on 2 feet, but it had hooves like a deer. It had hands that looked human with what looked like giant claws at the end of its fingers. Its face was like a deer with human eyes. Its mouth was long and filled with yellowish, red-stained, razor-sharp teeth. We stared at each other for what seemed like forever until it did something. It looked right at me and said, "Baby girl, I need you." It sounded almost like my grandfather, but like he was under the water. Hearing this made me snap out of my frightened state, and I raised my shotgun and fired. The creature let out a scream, and I continued to fire at it. It ran towards the dark field behind it. I could see the light of a lantern coming across the old man's property. I heard him yell some profanity as he fired shots as well. He ran to me and checked on me. I asked him if he saw that thing, just to ease my mind that I wasn't just seeing things myself. He told me that it was an old nuisance and was responsible for killing cattle around town. He said that most people aren't out at night like you or your family. He walked me home, making sure that I made it safe. When we reached my home, I explained frantically to my grandfather what I had seen, and he looked at me kind of funny. That is, until the old man reaffirmed what I had said. After that, I no longer slept outside, and that thing continued to come into our yard every night. My grandfather and dad would often end up shooting at it as it would attack our dogs. We even had to start bringing them into the house at night as several of our hunting dogs had passed away. My grandmother came down to visit us and blessed our property and gave me a necklace to wear. It had a big crystal with my hair tied around it with a nylon chain that she had woven. After that, the thing I saw never came back, but I had night terrors every night since that encounter. They finally stopped, but I was always cautious afterward, especially at night. 20 years later, I had a nightmare about the creature that I saw, so I'm hoping that writing this story will help bring some clarity to what I saw. I thought from the stories I heard, it may be a Wendigo or Skinwalker. I know I felt nothing but pure hatred and malice while it stared at me. And typing this now, 31 years old, it still gives me goosebumps. Anyone living in the woods or around nature, please know that there are things out there that just want to hurt you. Please take caution, especially at night, as it would turn out my uncle's property would bring more encounters with monsters in the woods.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Yet another story backing up my opinion that we're not meant to be playing around in the woods.
Even the story I narrated about the girl's dad who was a logger, I'm glad nothing happened to them, but if something did happen, can we really blame the entity?
Yeah, no, we're the invaders. I get that we're supposed to spend time in nature. I try to do that as much as possible, but not at night. There's just something about the woods at night that seems sinister. I can feel it.
That's definitely where a lot of the strange events take place. I mean, alien abductions, Wendigo and Bigfoot sightings, fairy folk. They all just love lurking in the dark woods. But there's also that white or gray cryptid that has been seen during the day. I don't remember any of the names off the top of my head, but there's a video of this guy practicing Mongolian throat singing in the woods.
Oh.
And you can clearly see it. I think the video is legit. It's worth looking up. If you just look up Mongolian throat singer cryptid, I'm sure it'll pop up.
Yeah.
But I don't know, not to dissuade you from going back out during the day. You're probably like 1,000 times more likely to die in a plane crash than get attacked by Bigfoot. Not to dissuade you from flying either. I'll just shut up.
Yeah, wise words. I was reading this really great article from a few years ago about Missouri's mysterious monsters on the Vox magazine website. And it's not the Vox that you're thinking of.
I was going to say that doesn't sound nearly buzzworthy enough for an outlet like Vox.
Yeah, they're definitely not what they used to be, but Vox magazine is very cool. In the article, they covered a number of monster sightings, one of my favorites being the Momo.
I like the name. I can't say I've heard of it, though. What's the Momo all about?
Well, it's not the Momo from the internet trend a few years back. If you do a Google search, that will pop up. But there was an article in a Missouri paper from 1972 that told the story of this 8-year-old kid and his older sister. They were playing outside and they saw this ape-like thing. I guess you could call it Missouri's Bigfoot.
Okay.
So the kid runs inside and tells his sister, and she looks out the window and she sees it too, which corroborated her little brother's story. Law enforcement actually got involved in the search for the Momo, but they didn't find anything. However, there were more Momo sightings. It's been reported that Momo can be anywhere from 6 to 12 feet tall with a head shaped like a pumpkin, a nasty-sounding scream, red eyes, and it's also super smelly.
All right, demonic Chewbacca. Got it.
Yeah. It was apparently pretty scary, though. For a while, the kids refused to turn to their house.
Probably the smell.
Yeah, good point. There also used to be a ride at the St. Louis Six Flags that was named after Momo.
I do actually like it when theme parks kind of embrace the local culture. Or I guess this is probably more hypercritical, but when corporations keep it super casual and quirky.
Yeah.
You know, like we have a McDonald's billboard sign here advertising their $1 fountain drinks. And it says Utah with like a dozen A's. Remind us we're not only in Utah, but that sodas are so refreshing.
Yeah, I like that. But you're right about the theme park thing, though. It's kind of like how California Adventure at Disneyland Resort basically recreates and celebrates parts of California with rides and attractions. At first, I thought it was kind of dumb. You're in California. Why not just visit Hollywood or San Francisco instead of experiencing an imitation at a theme park?
Yeah, I kind of get it. It's an idealized homage, I guess. Just like a mm-hmm. silly little thing. And it keeps it all in one spot. So I sort of get it.
I warmed up to California Adventure for sure. I also love smaller theme parks. Like in the Bay Area, there's Great America.
Oh, yeah. We have one here called Lagoon. That's actually pretty cool. It's very, very small. You see it right off the freeway and everybody knows and loves it.
Yeah. I was basically a little kid last time I went to Great America. I wonder if it's still fun. I need to go again. Anyway, Missouri has a decent amount of monster lore, and I'm not at all surprised by the encounter in our story. I found some other first-person encounters on the net where people have seen Wendigos in the state. But this was one of the most visual and definitely the most convincing.
Yeah, I love the World Wide Web. Yeah, I know there's a lot of wild stuff going on in the Ozarks, and I can't say I'm skeptical about Sammy's story. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess continuing about the woods conversation, it's probably safe to say that going camping out at a rainbow gathering isn't on your bucket list.
I mean, it sounds cool on paper. I just don't like the idea of falling asleep next to hundreds of strangers and obviously not being in the middle of the woods.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I camped at a music festival with my brother a couple summers ago, and the clientele was similar to a rainbow gathering. It was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember you guys both liking it. I don't know. I could be down for like a sober drum circle, but I'm not washing anybody's feet or taking my clothes off.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I didn't see any feet washing, but there was one naked person walking around for some reason. I actually do think you'd have fun for like an hour. That's not a backhanded compliment.
No, that's totally accurate. I'll give just about anything a shot as long as I can swing by, in quotes, for however long.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
I'm kind of embarrassed, but the Nick at Night pun in that story took me far too long to catch.
Me too. I was thinking it was some Are You Afraid of the Dark reference, or if some guy named Nick started the tradition.
Yeah, I just wasn't catching the reference. But it did dawn on me once I noticed that they spelled Nick, N-I-C.
Nick O-teen. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
But the invisible steps, or whatever that was, the author mentioned fairies, and that's what I'm thinking too, especially being out in the forest. It checks out, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe it was a sprite of some sort. It seemed neutral at worst, actually kind of playful. I don't know. At least it wasn't a Momo.
Yeah. It sort of just hung around and acted curious about everybody, like a child who keeps looking at you when they do a cartwheel or something.
But they're too shy to directly ask for your attention.
Yeah.
It makes my day when somebody's baby is smiling at me, like when I'm standing in line somewhere or at a restaurant. I'm always waving back and smiling at them all quietly.
I kind of do that, but I'm always afraid that the parent is going to yell at me or everyone's going to think I'm a creep.
Yeah. I hate that's how things are. But I can say that every parent has smiled back at me when they see what's going on.
Yeah.
And I used to be the same way, but I don't know. I'd feel worse ignoring a happy baby than pissing off a parent just because I, God forbid, responded to their kid's smile with a smile.
That's true. I think most parents can easily tell apart the creeps.
Yeah.
A clean-cut person in their Sunday's best could still raise more red flags than, I don't know, people like us with tattoos and beat-up sneakers.
Yeah. We're breaking down stereotypes over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, your challenge for the week is to smile back at every baby you see when you're out and about.
So we're doing weekly challenges now?
If that's what it comes down to, so be it.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, so much for listening. All the stories you heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. If you have a story to share, make sure you send it to stories@oddtrails.com. And finally, make sure you check out our Patreon if you want to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes, all at a higher bitrate so you have the best listening experience. You can go to patreon.com/oddtrails to sign up and support the show today. And finally, make sure you check out the new episodes of my other podcast, like Let's Not Meet, and the Old Time Radio Cast at CrypticCountyPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Everybody, stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.